And now, Hearts and Crosses, starring Henry Fonda. From New York City, the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force bring you a Western story titled Hearts and Crosses, written especially for and starring the distinguished actor of stage and screen, Mr. Henry Fonda. This transcribed feature is another in the series of
The Voice of the Army.
I'm Jim Fleming, a cowpuncher. Pretty good cowpuncher, if I say so myself. I've been ranch boss for two of the biggest outfits in West Texas, and in Texas, getting to be a ranch boss ain't so easy, so I reckon I can hold my own far as ranching's concerned. My wife, Emily, and me run the Otero Ranch, and there's no better ranch in the state. Yep, I guess I'm all set, but a man don't get set in life without learning a few well-needed lessons. I learned the hard way. When old man Peterson, that's Emily's dad, was alive, I used to ride herd at the Otero. After he died, but I'm getting ahead of my story a bit. No need to do that. Got plenty of time. Well, it all started the day Baldy Withers and myself are finishing a two-handed poker game in town. I wasn't feeling too happy, and Baldy was kind of analyzing my troubles.
I'd be king if I was you, Jim.
Well, if a man marries a queen, it oughtn't to make him a two-spot.
Well, sure not. By rights, you're a king. Jim, if I was you, I'd call for a new deal. Cards are stacked against you. I'll tell you what you are, Jim Fleming.
What?
You're a prince consort.
Go easy now, Baldy. I never blackguarded you none.
Oh, it's a title, Jim. Up among picture cards, but it don't take no tricks. It's a brand they got for certain hombres in Europe. Now, say that you or me or one of them princes marries in a royal family. Well, by and by, our wife gets to be queen. But are we kings? No, sirree, not in a million years. The only use we are is appear in photographs. You know, like Prince Albert. Now, shucks, that ain't no square deal. Yes, sir, Jim, you're a prince consort. By gum, I'd be king if I had to turn from the bottom of the deck.
Baldy, me and you punch cows in the same outfit for years. We've been running the same range and riding the same trail since I was a boy. I wouldn't talk about my family affairs to nobody but you. You was a line rider on the Otero when I married Emily Peterson. I was foreman then, but what am I now? I don't amount to not on a stake rope.
Why, when old man Peterson was the cattle king of West Texas, you was some tallow. Why, you had as much say on the ranch as he did.
I did up the time he found out I was trying to get my rope over Emily's head. Then he kept me out on the range far from the ranch house as he could. When the old man died, they commenced to call Emily the cattle queen. Well, I'm boss of the cattle, that's all. She tends to all the business, she handles the money. I can't even sell a steer hat to party at dude campers. Emily's the queen, and me, I'm Mr. Nobody.
Well, I'd be king if I was you, Jim. When a man marries a queen, he ought to grade up to her. Lots of folks think it's mighty funny, Jim, that you don't have the say-so on the Otero. Now, mind you, I ain't reflecting that on Miss Fleming, no siree. She's the finest little lady between the Rio Grande and next Christmas. But man ought to be boss of his own camp.
Well, let's get going, Baldy. What was that you call me, Baldy? What kind of consort was it?
Oh, consort, not concert, Jim. A prince consort. Yes, sir, it's a royal title. You come in short between Jack High and a four-card flush.
Well, I'm riding back to ranch today. I got to start a bunch of bees for Santo in the morning.
Well, I'm your company as far as Dry Lake. Got to round up a camp on the San Marcos, cutting out some longhorns.
Yep, that's how it begun. I found out I was nothing but a prince consort. Consort. I didn't like it a bit. Baldy and I rode out towards Dry Lake and the Otero. You remember yourself, Ball, that there was a time when Emily wasn't quite so independent? You remember the days when old man Peterson was keeping us apart and how she used to send me the sign that she wanted to see me? Old man Pete promised to make me look like a sieve if I ever come in gunshot of the ranch. You remember the sign she used to send Baldy, the heart with a cross inside of it?
Why, remember. Of course I remember, you old coyote. Why don't I remember, though? Why, you dad-blamed old longhorn turtle dove? The boys in camp all knew about them hieroglyphs. The gizzard and the crossbones, we used to call it. Why, I even seen one of them chalked on the back of the new cookbook that old man Peterson sent out from the ranch. Yes, sir. Doggone if I didn't.
Emily's father got her to promise that she wouldn't write to me or send me any word. That heart and cross sign was her scheme whenever she really wanted to see me.
Oh, we all knew it, but we never let on. Why, we was all for you. Yes, sir. We knowed why you always kept that fast paint in camp. When we'd see the gizzard and crossbones figured out on the truck from the ranch, we'd know old Pinto was going to eat the miles that night instead of the grass.
Last time Emily sent me this sign, I noticed that as soon as I hit camp, I galloped Pinto 40 miles that night. Emily wasn't at the corral, so I went to the house. Old man Peterson met me at the door. Says Emily's sick and wanted to see me. Told me to go in and come out and see him.
Oh, was she badly sick, Jim?
Well, yep, she was. But when I came in, she smiles and we held hands while I sat there by her.
I've heard you riding for hours. I was sure you'd come. You saw the sign?
The minute I hit camp, I said. It was on the back of a bag of potatoes and onions. Hearts and crosses, that is. And Emily says soft like,
all assigned to love and to suffer. That's what they mean.
By and by, she dropped off to sleep, and old Doc Musgrove eases me out of the room, telling me she'd be all right. I seen the old man outside. She's asleep, I said. If you're going to shoot, take your time, because I left my gun and my saddle horn. Old Pete laughs and says he figured it wasn't good business pumping lead into the best ranch boss in West Texas. Says he could use me here at the Otero's foreman if I'd keep away from Emily. Told me to go on upstairs and get some sleep. We'd talk it over.
Oh, so you promised to stay away from her, eh?
Well, Emily said we'd figure out something. It was a good thing to take the job, so I took it. Now I'm a consort. Well, adios, Baldy. I'm glad I seen you and had this talk.
Adios, Jim. I was you, Jim. I'd be a king.
Well, that was the beginning. I rode on home still thinking about that consort business. Yeah, you might say I was dead wrong, but right then I couldn't think of a thing but Baldy's words.
If I was you, Jim, I'd be a king.
Before I go on, I think I better tell you about Emily, my wife. Emily's the prettiest gal by far in the whole state of Texas. She's got her mother's slim, strong figure and soft prettiness that's downright thrilling. Doggone, she's her father's daughter, too. She's like the old man in most ways, and to me that meant ornery stubbornness. It made me a prince consort. So next day, after sleeping on that king idea, I'd made up my mind. Early in the morning, about 5 o'clock, Bud Turner rolled from his saddle in front of the Otero Ranch house. I was standing on the porch waiting for Bud, and Emily was there, too, watching the sunrise.
Morning, Miss Fleming.
Morning, Bud.
Where do you want them beeves to go to town? To Gilbert's, as usual?
You're driving to Moore's and Reed's pens. I spoke to Reed about it some time ago.
Wait. Why, what do you mean, Jim? I'd never deal with Moore and Reed. Gilbert's has handled every stock of... from this ranch for the past 5 years. I'm not going to take the business away from him. Deliver those cattle to Gilbert.
I want that bunch to go to Moore and Reed.
Nonsense. You'd best start up now, so as to reach Little Elm Waterhole by noon. Tell Gilbert we'll have another shipment of longhorns ready in about a month.
You deliver the cattle to...
Gilbert. And let that settle it. Is there anything else you're waiting for, Bud?
No, ma'am.
You heard your boss.
Bye, Bud. Jim, you're acting mighty foolish today.
Court fool, Your Majesty. What else can you expect? Let me tell you, I was a man before. I married a cattle queen. What am I now? The laughing stock of the camps. Well, I'll be a man again.
Don't be unreasonable, Jim. You haven't been slighted in any way. Do I ever interfere in your management of the cattle? Now be sensible.
Kingdoms and queendoms don't suit me unless I'm in the picture, too. I punch the cattle and you wear the crown. All right, I'd rather be High Lord Chancellor of a cow camp than an 8-spot in a queen high flush. Okay, then, it's your ranch, and Gilbert gets the beef. I was a stubborn fool, but you ever see a man that wasn't a fool about something? Well, as far as I was concerned, that did it. Nothing more was said for a bit, and I got ready to ride. I was tying my gear on my saddle when Emily broke the silence.
Are you leaving me, Jim? Are you leaving me, Jim?
I'm going to be a man again.
Then I wish you success in your praiseworthy attempt.
Thanks. Oh, boy. Oh.
This is Baldy Withers talking. Reckon I can best tell you the rest. Seeing as how Jim rode off to become a man again, well, just like in them monarchies, when a prince consort drops out, don't specially disturb the government, goes on pretty much the same. Well, at the Otero, that's the way it was, too. The consort was gone. The next year, the Queen was doing some experimenting on import cattle. Had about 1,000 head of some English steers. Sussex brand they was. Interbreeding and experiments paid off, too, because it wasn't long before all West Texas heard about those blue bloods of the range. Well, one day, a Mexican fellow rode up to the Otero ranch, presented a very businesslike letter to the Queen.
Well, Mrs. Fleming, I have here a letter for you.
Oh, thank you. Would you read it for me? I have my hands full with these plants.
You see, Mrs. Fleming, Otero Ranch. Dear Madam, I am instructed by the owners of the Rancho Tico to buy 100 head of 1- and 2-year-old cows of the Sussex brand owned by you. If you can fill the order, please deliver the cattle to the bearer and his party, and a check will be forwarded to you at once. Respectfully, James Fleming, manager, Rancho Tico.
James Fleming, manager of the Rancho Tico. Yep, old Jim had done what he set out to do, and here he was writing a cold, business-like letter to his own wife. But business is business. That evening, 100 head of cattle were driven up from the range and penned in a little horse corral. Then night came, and everything was still. But long about midnight, there was a stirring round the ranch house. Emily got up, slipped on a coat, and slipped out the door. She moved quickly across the yard of the blacksmith's shop and went to work. The forge glowed red in the night, and later on she left, carrying a queer-shaped object in a portable furnace. She went directly to the Sussex corral, opened the gate, and went inside. Well, the next morning, very early, the Mexican and his helpers began to drive the cattle over the 6-day trail to Rancho Tico. And one morning, about 8 o'clock, a horse galloped out of the brush to the Otero ranch house. The rider jumped off on his horse and ran into the house.
Jim, oh, Jim.
I was wrong.
Hush, did you see it?
I saw it. Be the cattle queen and overlook it if I was a mangy, sheep-stealing coyote.
Hush, now, there's no queen here. You know who I am? I'm Emily Fleming, first lady-in-waiting to His Majesty here.
His Majesty?
Yes, His Majesty.
Yep, His Royal Majesty, Jim Fleming, Jr. But, just then, they were interrupted by footsteps and jingling spurs. It was Bud Turner again, stumbling in to ask the same question he had asked just about a year before.
Morning. Them beeves turned out in the trail. Shall I drive them to Gilbert's? Or...
You heard your boss, Bud.
Well, folks, guess I can finish Jim's story for him. Not much more to tell anyway. Except when old man Trask, owner of the Rancho Tico, went out to look over his new Sussex cattle. He asked his new manager.
Say, what's the Otero Ranch brand, Johnson?
Why, X bar Y, Mr. Trask.
I thought so, too, but look at that white heifer there. She's got another brand. A heart with a cross in it.
Yes, sir, there's a need in the U.S. Army for as many of you Western he-men as the farms and ranches can spare. You city boys can listen if you've a mind to. And there's also places and good jobs for you in the military service. But I'm taking today especially to talk to cowhands, cotton choppers, and the young bucks of the wide open spaces. Fellas, the U.S. Army needs you as a man's job waiting for you. Catch a ride into your nearest recruiting station and let the sergeant tell you what outdoor-trained young men can do for their country in the Army and what the Army can do for them.
Join up now and do your part because
a strong America is a peaceful America. This program was brought to you by the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force and starred Henry Fonda as Jim Fleming. Voice of the Army thanks Mr. Fonda, who is currently appearing in the Broadway smash hit Mr. Roberts. The script was written by Charles Wilkes and directed by Major Hugh K. Murray. This is Joe Ripley speaking.
This transcribed feature has been another in the series of
The Voice of the Army.